In number 257, fuel 418. Humble soul, complain no more. Let faith survey your future store. How happy and divinely blessed the sacred words of truth attest.
Tune 417, tune 418. the text for this evening, to my heart is very sorrowful to commence with, and has caused me a few heavy hours today. But I hope there is the second part of it, which I pray and trust we shall all be found in. From the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we read verses 31 and 32. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I don't know what effect such words have upon your soul, but upon my soul, today they've made me tremble within. Because you see, this is was a declaration of Jesus Christ, and it was made to a poor sinful sinner, though he was called to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, yet there was one more who desired to have him. We sometimes speak of that one word, desire, do we not? This desire was an evil desire, and it still is an evil desire found in the very spirit and being of the Prince of Hell. Don't you think that that's any exaggeration, friend? And don't you imagine for one moment there's one of us in this chapel or outside of it that are outside of the scope of the Prince of Hell, for we are not. And if grace has made its mark within our soul, then the Prince of Hell will also make his mark. You may say, well, we wanted something to comfort us tonight. The comfort is in the 32nd verse. We cannot have the comfort there except, first of all, we have to trace out and experience and know and to feel and understand what this one great word is, temptations. I couldn't help thinking of this today, where Jesus said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Have you ever considered that? Here was two arrayed in battle, one against the other. The Prince of Peace and the Prince of Hell. And all for the good of the Church of God and sinner. All for your good, if you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I say to you this evening, where Satan sees and beholds the mark and the sprinkling of atoning blood, there he will make his onslaught, because he desires still to have you, sinner. He'll make your life at times intolerably miserable with the onslaughts that he brings against your soul in all manners of temptations. If one said to me tonight, well, I never suffer this way, and this has been said to me, Satan never interferes with me, then that shows that there's no grace, friends. Make sure of that. There's no grace where Satan, the prince of hell, doesn't try to interfere. Because you see, that's the mark of Christ. That's the spirit of Christ. And where the spirit of Christ is found, the prince of hell, Satan, is surely to be in array, battle array against it. And make no mistake, friends, he knows exactly where the weak places are in every child of God. Don't you think you're strong? Let him who thinketh he standeth beware lest he fall. It's easy to suppose we are strong in grace. It's easy to suppose we know all there is to know in religion and of Jesus Christ. When we get into those places, we are in a dangerous situation, very much so. Now you see, this Satan, he probes, and he does exactly like an army would do, one against the other, and he probes and probes and probes until he really finds out the weakest spot in every child of God. And every one of us have got a weak spot. And it will cause us sorrow, friends, if we're a child of God. It will. We only spoke of these two things at Peterborough on Tuesday evening, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and against this is the exceeding riches of his grace, one set over against the other. And the Lord teaches these people of his. Now you may say, well, you've mentioned about these temptations. Now what sort of temptations are they? Well, I don't suppose many of the Lord's people will want to tell each other what their temptations are, do they? And it's not always prudent that you should open all your heart, is it? But there's one place I'm sure that you'll have to tell, and that is you'll have to pour it out before your God at the throne of his heavenly grace. Pour it out. Temptations make us to realize, friends, how weak we are, not how strong. But it's a mercy if this is true of us. Temptations will bring about new life to prayer, because temptations are trials, aren't they? And trials do bring new life to prayer. You can have ever so many other trials, but you may be under some severe temptation this evening and you fear there's no way of escape out of it. The Lord always brings and always makes a way of escape for his own dear people. He does. And if he doesn't make the way of escape, the mark is bad against that sinner. It's bad. I don't know if I've ever told you, there was a poor old man years ago when my father was 18 or 19, and he went to chapel, my father, because more out of restraint, like a good many more of us when we were young, restraint. And he used to go afternoons and sit in the gallery of Stapler's Chapel, Kent. On this especial Sunday afternoon, he took his seat, and a man came and sat next to him, and the man sat there Sabbath after Sabbath, and he was a member of that church. On this afternoon, he took his seat, and he sat down, and he put his head in his hands, and he sat there throughout the whole service, over an hour and a half. Immediately the service was over, he was the first out of that chapel. He went straight to the late pastor's wife. She was indoors. Said, "I want a word with you, Mrs. Lewis." She said, "Whatever's your trouble?" "I've made a league with the devil this afternoon, and I have more peace in my soul than I for 6 months." And he said, "Now this is the end, this is the end. Have you ever come to that place, friend, where you thought God would leave you? He left him, he hasn't left you." And the poor man went down to the rails. His head was severed. In eternity he knew the awfulness of it. When you consider deception, Satan's deception, sinner, oh, to be delivered from temptation and this awful power of this prince of the power of the air. I thought this afternoon, as we were coming along, you consider what he is, as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And the more you want Christ, sinner, the more he'll be after you. The more you want a living religion, the more he'll try and annihilate you. And the more will he set his teeth on edge against you. And it doesn't matter. He doesn't mind what means he uses. He'll use his own agents. He uses professors of religion. He'll use the wicked instincts of your own human wicked heart. And all these converge upon your poor soul until presently you wonder where the scene will end. You don't want a religion from books. You'll have it written here, fellow sinner, until you wonder whether God will ever deliver you out of the claws of this devil, this lion, this adversary. Make no mistake, these poor things, they're to be truly pitied, 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 and to be prayed for. Do you know anything of it? Going about as a roaring lion, seizing, making your poor soul his prey, desire to have you. At all cost, determined. But you see, there's one other determination. Determined to say, "Thee watched over my path, this precious Christ." He said to Peter, "I know all what's going to happen, but I have prayed for you. Don't you hope that's in your experience, sinner? You need it. We all need it. I know I've needed it thousands of times, friends, thousands of times. You thought sometimes the devil was going to overthrow you. Have you ever lived with that poor lad, poor man, when he had to say, my name is Legion. Jesus had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Have you ever felt, ever had to confess this to the Lord? My name is Legion. You haven't a stone to throw at a poor sinner. Not even a murderer. If he was taken to the gallows today, you couldn't throw a stone at that one, could you? Not. My name is Legion. You see, you'll be brought the same place if you never as that dear man. Presently, he was found sitting the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. A right mind. Before it was a bad mind, a wrong mind. All through temptation. That's a strong word, but it is a stronger experience to have to pass through it and prove it, isn't it? And consider that poor man at Staplers. There was never any return. See, he went his own way. The Lord went his way, and that poor man went his own way. I often thought of the effect that had on my poor father, the years I heard him speak of that awful thing after, and how it made such an impact upon his spirit for years. And so it would, you know, if there's any of us here, had we anyone left to such a thing as this, and you may have been passing through and may have had the same experience, may have been tempted, well, this will be the end by my own hand, by my own hand. Don't be surprised. It'll come from this prince of hell. So you, I don't believe the Lord's people have it. Well, let's go back to the early days of the Lord in his temptations. And I'm going to use a word which is very plain, but this is expressed and revealed to us in the Word of God to mean this. When the devil, he took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said unto him, cast thyself down. Now you consider the pinnacle of the temple. We don't know what height that was, but the pinnacle or the tower of our churches are very high. And if you were to consider any of us being left to go up there and to cast ourselves down, it would be immediate death for us, immediate death. Do you see how far the devil went in his temptations with Jesus Christ? This is not what I'm supposing. This is truth from the Word of God. So, dear child of God, don't you understand that this path you must taste? And I believe this, that you and I need daily, 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 more than ever, to beware of the wiles of the devil and to put on the whole armor of God. Because, you know, if we don't mind, he's going to penetrate that armor where he sees a weak spot. Say you, what? You think he will have such business with me? He will, child of God, he will. I can't give you any quarter here tonight. I believe this, if any real child of God has ever got to this condition where they felt they could withstand Satan, it's not very long before he will begin his pranks, and he will spare no mercy at all with them, no mercy. If we could begin to get and grow self-righteous, and if we feel we can stand, it won't be long before the devil will begin to throw his ammunition at our soul, and he will soon make a hole in the wall. And that is where we thought we'd had so much faith, and we should be brought here. O ye of little faith, little. It isn't great, is it? I've wondered often, late years, and I begged of this many, many times, and said to the Lord, Lord, is there enough grace for me tomorrow if I'm out through today? Is there enough for me tomorrow? You see, you will want to feel this, friend, to be helped through, carried through. You consider the one army against the other. What will we see in the Shulamite? A company of two armies. You may get up in the morning, you may have it all quiet. Before dinner, the battle is right on, friends, the battle is right on. With all his vile accusations and insinuations, and awful, vile, and filthy suggestions that the devil, the prince of hell, will bring into your soul. I tell you, he'll have no mercy if you have grace. So you are, I didn't think it was quite as bad as this. Well, it will be before you get home to glory, you know. He's going to make a mark somewhere. You'll have a few bruises. You certainly will, and those bruises that he makes, you know, you'll have to take them to the precious Saviour. Because you'll be brought to this place, it doesn't mean that you're out of grace or you're fallen out of grace. You'll have it proved to you that you've been called by grace. That's the blessed part. Chosen of God ere time began. And you hoped it's you, sinner, you'd choose him in return. A sinner like you. Nothing to boast of, have you? Nothing to boast of. All you can say, Lord, it seems that for the most part, my wicked heart takes the part of the devil, and you don't want to. Isn't that so? Taking the part of the devil, when he suggests there's something in your heart would go hand in hand with him, if not outwardly, inwardly you do. You consider, from an evil temper to ever so many other things which all of us, we are subject to it, any of us, and this is the one that is going to make your life very, very trying from time to time. I will remember, as I look back, and a little while ago it was brought back to me with such sweetness, and it brought rapture and surprise back into my soul, where I felt that this devil, he haunted me for 6 months. And I thought there'd be never be any peace. And it was in the days when we lived in a little cottage at Bexley. And I used to just groan, not pray, groan. And I used to feel another day, another burdensome day gone by. Another day when the devil has made another onslaught. 6 months. And I went in the pulpit and I had a little light. And when I went to get out, the Lord drew the blind of his love. And I felt all the powers of hell were set against me. And I woke one Tuesday morning. And as soon as I felt my eyes were open and I could think, it was as if the very devil was at my right hand and all these evil, dreadful suggestions, day and night if you're awake, have you ever had it? And I groaned, do appear, Lord, I can't go on, it's no good, do appear today. And I went down the stairs and put the kettle on and walked back into the little middle room alone. I said, Lord, do appear to me. I'm but a poor, wretched sinner with no one to help me. Do come. He broke this into my inmost soul. I bound thee up secure. Midst all the rage of hell, the curse thou never shall endure, for I'm unchangeable. Oh, friends, the wonders of love that entered into my soul. The rest of that day I worshipped the blessed Prince of Peace in the beauty of holiness. And when I went about my work, I didn't know hardly what I was doing. I could feel precious Jesus, friend of sinners, thee as such, to do draw near to one as I like I feel I am. And my language all that day was of love and adoration of this blessed Jesus Christ. And the devil was silent, and in my soul I had this blessed knowledge. I know that my Redeemer liveth, the Prince of Peace. Have you ever passed that way? When he is silent and you look round for him and he's gone, you You've had months and weeks or days and nights of it, and you wondered if after all you were a child of God, if you'd made a dreadful mistake, and here the whole matter is settled, friends. It's settled, settled. And in your inmost soul he's written this: when I see the blood sprinkling of it, I will pass over you no curse, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, to be found in him. And if you're found in him, the devil will try and bring you out of him. That's what he's trying to do. Irritate your soul. Distract your spirit. Harden your heart. Turn you away from the throne of grace, telling you it's no good you ever praying anymore, and the word of God is untrue, and sometimes to bring such atheistic thoughts and views into your inmost soul to tell you there's no God. A child of God has to endure these things, friends, and a thousand more that I'm not going to mention to you, because some of you know them. And all you can write after your own name is this: can I deem myself a child of God? Can I indeed? You want to, but you cannot see it. You cannot feel it. And you only feel the worst of sinners without hope. But there is hope. There is hope. You see, having passed through this way, you will know what it is to enter presently to have fellowship with this precious Jesus in his temptations. When you get home, if you only do this, look at that verse and read it a few times. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Continued. You've sung the hymn many times, and so have I. How many turn from Zion's ways? Alas, what numbers do. Methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? You know, sometimes the things of providence will distract you and tempt you and upset you, and you will have temptations in those. When the Lord doesn't appear to you and the devil says, well, because of this, the Lord has turned against you because of this thing. And he'll bring you to have an exercise of faith and prayer, but that's a mercy. And the devil doesn't know he's doing this to you. He really doesn't understand yet, friends, what a sheepdog he is to drive the sheep of Christ to the throne of grace, because that's what he's doing. He brings them to that place in distraction and despair, that they're driven out of despair to the throne of his heavenly grace, and all because he continually prods, helds, and roars. Now, what a mercy. The Lord warned Peter. He warned him. I don't know if there's one here, and you may heed the warning. Don't say, well, I've had all this and I shan't pass there again. Ah, friend, be careful. You may. I never want to. I said to the Lord, sometimes I've been down deep enough, Lord. No more. It is enough. It is enough. I've been deep enough. No more. We don't know. All I want to this, while I live on this earth now, I hope, is this: ever on my captain calling, day by day. Keep me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Hold thou me up, Lord. Support me, Lord. Maintain my lot. Sustain me in this way. Deliver me out of temptation. Don't let them come into my path. Do give me the grace that I can fight against anything like this. Where is that word found in Peter? I read in the vestry. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we've got a heart which wants to court him. It's true. And we want to, mind you know, some things that we think are from God, they're from the devil, friends. Say, you, how's that? I've known ever so many people in my time, and I still know many and have many dear friends. I thank God for them. And a good many of them have told me this. I thought I had so and so from the Lord, but it wasn't from him. I was thinking of a dear soul that's now in glory. And they said once to us, well, I believe the Lord spoke so and so into my soul. It was concerning something providential. And that thing never come to pass. But that never altered the fact that that soul was redeemed and is now in glory. We sometimes listen, friends, with the wrong ear. There's the spiritual ear, the ear of faith, and there is the natural ear. And the devil has a trick of speaking into the natural ear, and at the opportune moment, we're ready to believe him, especially if it's something suitable to our natural ear and our natural taste. So we want to beware. And I believe this. The Lord's people need to be confirmed again and again and again. You want it from God. You want him to confirm it in your heart. That it was from himself, that it was him that spoke. You don't want Satan to appear unto you or me as an angel of light, do we? That's a terrible thing to me, terrible thing. And yet we all may fall to this, friend. We may fall to it for a while until the Lord opens our eyes. I only warn you in love and affection. Beware of him, friends. He's not going to be very pleased with me tonight, I know. But beware of him, beware. He stirs up in your heart, you know he does. He stirs up everything in hell to fight against you. And I proved he can fight, he can use men, devils, he uses professors. And I've had more trouble from professors than I have from profane. Certainly I have, but remember this. The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, he reigns and he rules over the Prince of Hell. He'll lay all his foes and all your foes low. He certainly will. It's not always easy to believe it, but I know he has promised this. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And so you'll be drawn out of temptation, the fire of temptation. You'll be drawn out of the pursuit of the Prince of Hell. He doesn't mind what pains he takes, remember. He cannot annihilate a grace that is found in the heart of a child of God. But he can tease, aggravate and annoy. And that is his work, and he certainly lives up to his character in it. Now the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee, and I see our time has gone. Didn't know the opening would be so long on this part, that Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. I tell you this tonight. My one desire all day long is this. I've had visions, there may be one or more in this chapel and congregation who may have to suffer and be sifted as wheat yet in your religion. And my prayer is this. Lord, have mercy upon them. Because if he does this, some of us can tell you, you'll have to look round presently and you'll have to wonder if you've even Jesus Christ as your hope. You certainly will. There will be a time when there'll be a stopping of the proud waves of the adversary. Then it'll be your turn of blessing, of quietness and of calm, when Jesus, with his mighty love, visit your troubled breast. And then you'll have a sacred love and a holy peace which will pass all knowledge of understanding. We must leave it for the moment and trust the Lord for the future for the text. May we not have labored in vain, and may this same Jesus ever be your comfort. Amen.
From unbelief, my Savior is near. Before my relief will surely appear, by prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm.
gracious Lord, do kindly dismiss us with thy blessing and grant each one journeying mercies. May the angel of thy presence encamp round about each one. Now may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion, the Holy Spirit the Comforter, to rest and abide with you each this night and forevermore. Amen.